Okay, well, welcome to all the visitors, and I just want to very quickly go back over some of the things that we looked at last week. We're starting just a short series on prayer, not so much to give you a lot of ideas, but really to get you into a place where you're going to see not only the importance of prayer, but you're going to step into a place where you're going to experience the change that God wants to bring about in your walk with Him through prayer. How many felt challenged last week and maybe you've done something about it? How many felt that you feel that you've turned a corner in your prayer life? Anybody here? A couple of people. That's good. You know, I want to just very quickly go over some of the things. One of the things we spoke about last week was to begin to have a schedule in prayer. You say, well, why is that so important? You know, isn't that a bit legalistic to actually schedule it? I believe that unless prayer has been scheduled into your time on a regular basis, it doesn't reach the importance that it really needs for you to experience change. You know, God wants to do certain things in your life, and I can promise you that without prayer, you and I will never come to a place that we really see the will of God worked out in our lives. There are things that God wants to do that He planned for you that unless you and I begin to spend time with Him and begin to pray certain things, we're not going to see it happen. There's people that go through life that may have had even promises from God and plans they have in their heart, but it doesn't seem to come to a place where they really begin to experience it. God doesn't want you to come to the end of your life and say, what was all that about? I didn't actually experience those things that I hoped for. Many times, because of circumstance and things that happen, people give up on what they believe God wants them to do. I've met young people, I know myself, when I was in my 20s, when the Lord first called me into ministry, I used to go out and witness, and if somebody talked to me about prayer, I said, I haven't got time to pray. I'm winning souls. I'm praying for the sick. I can't, you know, you pray, that's fine, but I need to be busy. Well, I soon found out that as I continued on, I came to a point where I just began to burn out. I began to feel that I'd be praying with the sick and I had no faith at all that they'd be healed. I'd be wondering while I was praying what was going to happen. I would share, you know, my testimony with people. I would talk to them about Jesus, and even wondering whether Jesus was actually going to do some of the things that I was telling them He wanted to do. And I began to be very worried and concerned. I realized that what was happening is that I had lost something. I went to the Lord, I prayed about it, and the Lord actually dealt with me and spoke to me very clearly through John 15 and said, if you don't abide in me and my word does not abide in you, you'll just wither and you will not fulfill what I've got for you. And so I begin to see early in my life that there's such a need for prayer. Now, did I always pray? No, I didn't. To my shame, I have to admit to you that there's been times when my prayer life has not been what it should be. And I'm sure that we all feel that way sometimes, but I also can say that there has been great times when my prayer life has been at that level. And you know, I enjoy meeting people that I have met throughout the years who are intercessors, who have a strong prayer life. There's something about them. There's a peace about them. Just being with them. They carry the presence of Jesus with them. Not even trying to. It's just there because of the priorities that are set right. We prioritize our lives right, we're going to see the results. I remember Norval Hayes saying many years ago, he said the reason that Jesus did so many miracles is because He lived right. Amen. He understood the importance of spending the time with His Father. I know that we all know that prayer is important, but I think the most important part is that we get to a point that we see that it is important enough that we're willing to change our schedule. That we begin to place prayer in our day in such a strategic place that it becomes the place where we are able to connect with the Lord. I remember reading that Martin Luther, the man who, you know, in the 1600s received the revelation of that was really lost at that time in the church, that the just shall live by faith. As the Lord began to work through him and he began to write a lot of things and he began to teach, you know, the whole new salvation experience by faith that was lost for nearly 1,000 years. As he began to do that, he became very busy. And his favorite expression was, "I have so much to do today, I must pray more." That was his favorite expression. Whenever he was very busy, it meant he needed more time in prayer. And I want to challenge you as your pastor that God is calling you into a place. You know why that is? Because there's so much he wants to do. We're living in an exciting time as we're approaching the end of this age. It's been going over 2,000 years. This grace period. God's going to keep the best for last. He's going to move through his church, through his body, in a way that we have not seen before. Now, that's not going to happen just because of the time factor, but because of the fact that we as individuals and as a church are able to respond to those things, and it's built out of that intimacy, and it's also built out of the ability to pray. Now, today, I want to talk about intercession. And the reason for that is that I believe one of the mandates for us as a church is to be a praying church. I believe that intercession is a great part of what God has called Heritage of Faith in Toowoomba to be. To be an interceding church that knows how to intercede for the people and the ministries that are connected to us. There are specific things that God wants us to pray about. You know, I believe that we don't take for granted that we live in a nation that we are allowed to call upon the name of Jesus. There are still nations on this earth where that is not allowed. And we don't want to take it for granted. But also God wants us to begin to pray for other nations necessarily that are not in that place. I believe also God has given us connections with, for instance, Steve Darby in Thailand. We need to pray for him so that he doesn't carry this work on by himself. It's not just that we give him money, but it's that we actually partner with him spiritually so that he can see the work done. He's up against a lot of demonic opposition in the area where he is, believe me. Daniel and I, we spent a couple of weeks there, and we could just sense the spiritual darkness that was over the people. Now, they're lovely people, but they're spiritually so in darkness. And for Steve to really begin to experience, you know, the level of ministry that God wants him to move in, there needs to be a church that is praying and lifting him up in prayer and doing battle for him. Amen? Oh, that was a weak amen. Say amen to that. Les and Ann, who are, you know, they're youthful in spirit. Amen. We were, you know, a couple of months ago when we were in Bach Olin there, the Lord directed me to pray for them. And as I did, I got very strong in my heart. Your time's not finished yet. There's work for you to be done. And they know it. And they're willing to go. And so we need to pray for them regularly. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about just a little bit later in this message is that, you know, we have a pre-service prayer. Now, we've been doing that for some time now. And I felt the Lord speak to me in the last couple of weeks that we're going to have to restructure some of those things. What we're going to do is we're going to create little prayer stations that will deal with specific things that we'll pray for, whether it's missions or the church here, but also, you know, our local government or the federal government. We will have specific prayer stations that you can be a part of when you come to church a little bit earlier. And there'll be specific things that each prayer station will have that you can read through and begin to pray. You know, it only takes 2 or 3 people to agree in prayer. Did you know that? You don't need 200 or 300. You need 2 or 3. That's Jesus said. Jesus said, if 2 or 3 of you shall agree concerning anything, it shall be done. So what begins to happen as we begin to agree in prayer, things begin to change, even all the way over in Thailand. Things begin to change in our government. Things begin to change in our nation. Things begin to change in our city. There are people right now in this city who are living lives that are destitute, and they don't know where to go, and they don't know what to do. We begin to pray for our city. Guess what? Those demon spirits that are operating in people's lives, they're losing their grip. And they're coming into contact somehow with believers and people that are able to point them the right way. You say, do you believe in binding demons and doing all that? Well, I don't know about that. I don't see Jesus walking around doing that. I'm not saying I'm against it. But I do believe as we pray for our city that things begin to shake in the heavens. Amen. That things are changed by the very fact that you and I are beginning to pray for it. We can do a lot of damage to the works of the enemy, even though many times for years and years and years, things may be a certain way. Just by Christians beginning to come together, believers, knowing how to pray, knowing what God wants, things can change around very, very, very quickly. Very quickly. It don't have to take another 30 years before we see breakthrough. Amen? If we understand what prayer is all about, we can do business with God. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Jesus spoke a parable, the Bible says here, that men ought always to pray, say always, and not faint or lose heart. Many times I have experienced that people, they lose heart in prayer and not seeing any answers. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't succumb to that spirit of fainting. That's what it is. This is where you feel lethargic and says, well, I don't think it makes any difference. No, he says, no, don't do that. Continue in prayer because you will see change. You know, I first went out in when I started traveling, I had met a lady in the United States. I'd only met her one time. And she was an intercessor. She had a list of things and people that she would pray for every day. And about a year later, her son spent some time with me overseas in one of the countries in Central America. And when he came out, one of the things he said to me, he said, you know, my mom has a little list in her Bible. And he said, one day, he said, I picked up a Bible and this list fell out. And he said, I picked it up and he says, your name is on the top. She prays for you every day. It turned out that God had spoken to her when she met me. I wasn't traveling at that time. I was only visiting some people. And God spoke to her and said, begin to pray for that young man. And she began to pray. And during the time that I traveled, I was in different places. I spent a bit of time in Jamaica. That was dangerous, that place. I had a white face. That was not good in Jamaica. They'd make me stand in the bus. Everybody else sit down? You white boy, you stand up. Give up your seat, you know. It was different to be on the other side of the coin somehow. But, you know, and I sensed right throughout that time such a protection of the Lord over my life. There was somebody praying for me. You say, you mean to say that if she hadn't prayed, you would have gotten into trouble? Maybe. Maybe. But she prayed. God directed her to pray for me every day. And she did that for a long time, for a couple of years. And I remember years later, I spoke to her and I said, you know what? I said, your son told me that you've been praying for me. And I said, I just wanted to say to you, thank you for doing that. She said, oh, it was a privilege. She said, God put it on me. It was my assignment. I needed to pray for you. And she said, there was times when the Lord would wake me up and I'd get up and pray for you and other people too. That's a great thing. I shared with you once before that I knew this pastor's wife in the Netherlands where I used to go to church. She had seven children. And I remember the two boys that she had, the older boys, they were, I don't want to use bad language, but they were not good boys. They were rascals. They really were. I used to think, these guys, man alive, they're going to end up growing up and be bank robbers or something like that. But she was praying for her family every day. The Lord gave her a promise that she would see all of her children and all of her grandchildren. She didn't have any grandchildren then in the ministry serving God. Today, we're talking maybe 40 years later, all of her children and all of her grandchildren, even her rascal boys, are all serving God, involved in churches and full-time ministry, and the grandchildren too. But see, she prayed all the time. She was keeping them before the Lord in prayer. That was her main calling. She was a housewife. She had to look after a family with seven children. She was able to do that and still somehow found the time to pray. And I tell you, the dividends are out of this world, literally. Amen. They're heavenly. Now, let's have a look at what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 18 there. We're going to open up this parable that he spoke. Verse 2 in Luke 18, and Jesus said, there was a certain in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God, who is a just judge, amen, shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them, speaking of their adversaries? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, here's the question. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, Jesus is not questioning whether there's going to be faith or not, but he's putting the challenge out. He said, am I going to find faith when I return? Am I going to find people with hearts that are filled with faith? In other words, they're praying and believing that those things that they are praying are going to come to pass. Is it interesting that this woman came to this unjust judge and she said, avenge me of my enemies? Or one translation said, give me justice from my enemies. You know, we have a finished work that Jesus finished on the cross 2,000 years ago that includes healing for every person, salvation for every person, deliverance for every family and every home. Amen. And now that it's time for us to say, hey, hang on a minute. We want justice. We want to see that beginning to happen. We want to see that when we lay hands on people, they get healed. Now, of course, there's faith involved. We need to know what the Word of God says about that. But it also needs to come a place where we expect that these things begin to work through our lives. And I believe we need to pray the will of God into situations. We need to have an understanding of what God wants to do and how He wants to use us to begin to touch people and begin to change things. Prayer is going to regain its appeal in the church so that unbelievers receive all that Jesus has for them. I believe the connection to many people coming into the kingdom is because of a praying church. You know, we have a church in Korea. I'm sure you've heard of Pastor Younggi Cho. He's a praying pastor. His main calling is not to be a pastor of a church. His main calling, he said this many times, is to be an intercessor, to pray. His favorite slogan is, I pray and I obey. You know, he has a church of, I don't know, maybe a million people. And because he is a praying person, people in his church are praying too. I'm a praying person, but I tell you what, I'm upping the heat a little bit. I'm upping my prayer. I'm planning more prayer in my daily schedule. You say, why do you do that? Don't you believe that God will just do it the first time you ask? Absolutely. But I also believe that it is our communion with God. You know what? It isn't just that we pray and get an answer. It's the fact that God wants to interact with you. He wants to relate to you. There's things He wants to say to you. There's things He wants to make you aware of. It's not going to happen unless you make the time to meet with Him. Okay. I've made a little acronym of the word prayer. Prayer is spelled P-R-A-Y-E-R, prayer. Let's have a look at this. The first letter, P, is for me the word privilege. Prayer means privilege. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? What is the chance of you getting an audience with the mayor of this city? Mr. Taylor, what's the chance of you actually getting the opportunity to meet with him and have a meeting with him and say, I need to talk to you about it? That's going to be very, very hard. What about the state premier, Mrs. Bly? What's the chance of you getting an audience with her? It's getting a little bit harder now. What about our prime minister? You say, well, I don't want to have an audience with her. Well, what if you did? What if you said, I want to meet with the prime minister, some things that only she can make the decision, I don't need to meet with her. What's the chance of you meeting with her? It'd be slim, wouldn't it? And you know what? You have an audience with God. You don't have to go through a committee. You don't have to go to a guy that's dressed up. You don't have to go to anybody. You can go straight to him in Jesus' name. You can have an audience with God anytime, any place, and he's all ears. How amazing is that? And he's the greatest of all. He can fix things that even Miss Gillard cannot fix. He can fix it. You knew that, didn't you? The Bible says the things that are impossible with men, they're possible with God. So we begin to see that the privilege that you and I have to come to God straight through, to have an audience with him, is available to every single believer. And it all comes because of the work that Jesus has accomplished in establishing relationship with God that cannot be broken. P for privilege. The next one. Ah. Say ah. Ah. Ah for reality. I engage with God. I engage with a God that I cannot see. And I'm asking him to do things that are naturally impossible. That's probably where prayer gets a little bit different, because we're so used to living in this world where everything we see, you know, is done by certain natural laws, and we kind of get used to living in this natural world. But prayer brings us into a different world. It brings us into the world of God, where nothing is impossible. And even though I cannot see God, he's real. Amen? And when I bring my petition to him, he listens to them. When I'm faced with a situation, whether it's a physical need or a financial need, or something in a relationship, the reality is that the change is going to come and manifest in the natural. There's reality in prayer. Come on. And I believe that that is something that, you know, I've talked about this last week. We need to get some stories happening in our lives. We need to have some answers of prayer. We need to begin to have, you know, people saying, hey, this week that happened. And I know you're having some, but I believe God wants to make that a whole lot more. Less worrying, less trying to fix it yourself. Pray about it. Bring it before the Lord. Okay. Number three, the letter A. I picked the word affection. Affection. One of the things about prayer is that God wants you to begin to have a relationship of love with him. You can express your affection. Lord, I just love you. Sometimes I come to God, I have no list. Nothing. I just want to tell you that I love you. I thank you for your goodness for me. And he wants to tell you, he wants to assure you of his love for you. Amen. And he actually delights in you. He likes you. Look at the person next to you and say, God likes you. Amen. Sometimes we think, well, God just puts up with me. If you knew my life, no, he likes you. He likes you. Not only loves you, but he likes you. He looks at you and say, wow, there's Ruth. I like Ruth. She's funny. Amen. He knows things about you, little quirky things that, you know, no one knows about, but he knows it and he likes it. The Bible says he rejoices over you with singing. He thinks of you and sings a song. How amazing. Amen. We think of God as this old man sitting there, been around for a long time, long gray beard, frown on his head. No. He's full of life. He's the creator of life. He is full of life. And he's the life giver. And so he's God's youthful. He's full of creativity. And he thinks about you. He laughs at you when you do something silly. He likes you. He likes people. He created people because he likes the idea of having fellowship, relationship with you. You were created for a relationship with God. He didn't give you a job description. It says, go and do the work, and when you're finished, you'll come back. No. No. He says, we're going to do it together. We'll have relationship. And in the relationship, things are going to change, and you will see me do things through you. Show God's goodness. But, you know, you share in it. That's his idea. Somehow God wants you to share in this whole operation. You're part of His government. Amen. The second thing about affection is that, you know what? When we begin to pray for a person, say a person has done something really wrong to you, but you begin to pray for that person. It may be a very short prayer when you first start. Say, Lord, I just pray for so-and-so. I just bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Not too much, but bless them a little bit. Lord, don't give them too much, but just bless them some. You know, you begin to pray for a person. You know what begins to happen? The love of God begins to flow through you. Suddenly that offense, whatever it was they did, it no longer even, you got to even think really hard to remember all the details. You think, well, what was it actually that they, what was it? They did something to me, but I can't actually remember all the details of it. But I just really believe I just need to go see them again sometime and maybe write them a nice email or send them a card or do something, or give them a bunch of, you know, you begin to feel the affection of God for a person who has wronged you. It's an amazing thing. I found that the antidote, the cure for a broken relationship is to pray for that person. Pray for those people. Pray for that thing that somebody did to you. You begin to pray. Jesus said, love, pray for those who spitefully use you. He didn't say that to see how how upset he could get you. He knows that when you pray for those who use you, you'll begin to experience the love of God. And that's going to bring change in the relationship. It's going to change that person. You don't pray judgment on people. Remember the disciples when they were with Jesus, they came to Samaria, and the Samaritan says, we don't want to have you come near us. They said, Lord, shall we call down fire? Like Elisha did, shall we call down fire on them? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Now, that's not my intention. That's not what I came here. The spirit of Christ is to forgive, amen, to restore, to redeem. So that comes into our prayer life. It changes. Some of you, you know, may have been struggling with a relationship. Begin to bring that person on board in your prayer life and watch what happens. Amen. Okay. Affection. You know, it's easy to become judgmental and critical when you don't pray. I have found that, you know, it's easy to begin to pick faults at people and why did they do that and misunderstand that. But if you continue to pray for a person, all of those things begin to just fall apart. They no longer have a stronghold. They don't have the ability to build a stronghold in your mind and in your thought life. Okay, the fourth one, why, the letter Y. Why for yieldedness. One of the things in prayer is that we don't just bring our list to God, but as we pray about things, what I find is that the Holy Spirit begins to show you more. I remember praying for a particular person. There were some things that had happened in our relationship that had strained it. As I began to pray for them, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and showed me some things that had happened that really wasn't their fault necessarily. It was just some things that had crept in. And when I understood what I was dealing with, I was able to really forgive them a lot easier, begin to pray for them. And you know what? It wasn't long that relationship was restored. Amen. Yieldedness. It's a two-way conversation. You cannot begin to pray and not hear what God's wanting to say to you about it. It's not just that we bring our list. I find that prayer is amazing because as I begin to pray for people, for circumstance, for places, for persons, as I do that, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and begins to open my eyes and suddenly I have insight. I can pray specifically. I can pray into the situation and begin to see it the way God sees it. It's a two-way thing. It's yieldedness. I begin to yield to the will of God. Amen. Okay, number five, E for everything. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Say everything. Everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Don't just pray about some things, pray about everything. We have some friends that live on the Sunshine Coast. They're an older couple now. George and Mary. They're visitors from time to time here. They pray about where they go for holidays. You say, well, that's ridiculous. You just go wherever. No, they pray, Lord, where do you want us to go on holidays? And without fail, something will happen during their holiday. They'll meet certain people. That's how they met us. We were in a situation where we were making a decision to go to Melbourne years ago. They'd been praying about where to go, and they felt they needed to go to the Gold Coast, and then they had looked at two different motels when they got there, and they felt, no, we don't go to the nice one. We go to the one that is not so nice. And that's where we were. We had just arrived there. We only had money for the not so nice one. And we met up. And they were in the church where we were contemplating on going. And when we went there, sometime later, we ended up, they helped us. George got me a job. And they helped us with accommodation and practical things. It was just so God. Why? Because they prayed about where to go for holidays. You know, there's things that God wants to do in your life. There's people, there's things that He wants to do, connections He wants to make. Hey, that's going to be wonderful. God is looking all the time. All it takes, Lord, I'm going to bring this before you in prayer. What do you want me to do my grocery shopping today? Come on. You start in, the Bible says, in everything, bring it before the Lord in prayer. Become a person that is quick to pray. When you face a situation, don't say, what are we going to do? Say, come on, let's pray about it. Say, honey, come on, let's pray right now. I tell you what, you do that, you will not live a life of frustration and anxiety, because you know that that place of prayer is where you can bring everything to God. Everything. John 14, 13 and 14. This is what it says. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Anything you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he said in verse 14, and if you ask anything in my name, he says it again. You ever wanted that? You look at the same, but Lord, that's just what you said. But it's almost like he says, I want you to really get this. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So the fact that he says it twice, he really expects you to do it. He really expects you to pray. He really is giving you the invitation to begin to bring things before him in prayer. Wow. The last one. Ah. The letter R. Again. Ah. Resolve. Resolve. Don't become faint just because you haven't seen the answer. Resolve in your heart that whatever you pray, you will receive. How do you do that? Go to the Word of God. Sometimes we pray about things, but we haven't really got a strong handle on it in faith. We don't really know what God has already said about it. Find the scriptures in the Word. You're praying about healing, a particular healing, find the scriptures. Go to them and begin to read them out loud and begin to read them out to the Lord as promises. Lord, I thank you for your promise that by his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord, that himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, you, Psalms 103, you forgive all my iniquities, you heal all my diseases. See, as you begin to bring that into prayer, you're praying the Word of God, does two things. God loves to hear his promises spoken out to him, but also it strengthens your faith to a place where you cannot but receive what you're praying for. As I said to you last week, don't pray silly prayers. Don't pray prayers you don't believe. Pray things that are just rooted in the Word of God, that are already there, promised. Begin to pray. I tell you what, that's your resolve. I'm going to receive what I've asked for. You need financial breakthrough. You need something to change in your work situation. You need a relationship restored. You begin to find the scriptures, and they'll be there, and begin to pray that. Amen. Now, in closing, let me say this. What we're going to do as a church is, as I said to you, we're going to bring some changes into the pre-service prayer. And we're going to have, there'll be signs on each section. There'll be three or four different areas every week that we pray for. when you come in and you want to say, okay, I want to spend some time in prayer, there'll be an area of missions, there'll be an area of local church, there'll be an area of families, whatever it is that week that we feel that is the emphasis that God's giving us, there'll be a sheet there that you can sit together and you can begin to pray certain things. But not only can you pray what's on the list, there'll be things that God will put on your heart to pray about together. And at the end of that, there'll be also some room for you to write down some of the things that God's saying to you. Because inevitably, when you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit also wants to give insight. One of the things I said this week to the leaders is that there is a prophetic anointing on this church. What does that mean? It means that God wants to speak not only to the leaders, but to you as an individual. He wants you to know His counsel. He wants you to know what He has to say to you. And so as we pray together, there'll be things that will come back out of that prayer time that we'll bring to the front. We'll look at it and then say, okay, here are some of the things that have come back. Let's just agree right now as a group and pray over those things again. We'll bring it before the Lord and we will spend that little bit of time, maybe 30 seconds, just praying into that again. And we see over a period of time, I tell you what, we're going to see things changing in people's lives. We're going to see breakthroughs coming. We're going to see those families restored. We're going to see that block of land for Steve Darby. Amen. We're going to see and enough money to build that building. I'm believing God for $50,000. And I'm not saying that we are the only church that's going to do that, but I tell you, we're going to get involved in that. Amen. But it's going to happen because we're going to pray into that. And God's going to get alongside us, and He's going to empower us to be able to do those things. Amen. How many believe you've got some hold of some things this morning? Maybe not as flashy today and, you know, a lot of funnies, but just really giving you some nuts and bolts to begin to see your prayer life become a lot more reality. Let's all stand, shall we? I really believe that the one thing that God is really challenging you and me about is to begin to schedule prayer. To have a place that you find in your regular time in your day where you say, that is my time, that is my appointment, that's when I meet with the Lord. And I tell you, He will begin to meet with you. If you'll show up, you'll find He's already shown up. Amen. Father, we just want to thank You, Lord, this morning, that You have called us as a church to be Your children, number one, to know that we don't have to pray to be accepted. We are accepted in the Beloved. And that You've given us some assignments because You love us as Your children, so that we can see the will of God become reality in our world and in the places where You connect us with to make a difference. And Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that the simplicity of this message will begin to grab every heart. Lord, that we will have a new understanding that prayer is what You've given us to begin to shake the spiritual atmosphere, to break the lethargy, to remove the darkness and unbelief out of people's lives so that we can see truly Your will established with the multitudes coming into salvation. For all the sick that we pray with to be healed. For every financial need that we bring to You to be resolved. Lord, we want to see a greater measure because that is Your heart, that is Your desire. Father, I praise You.